Good morning, everybody. My name is Claire, and it's with great joy that I come and share the word with you today. I hope you've had a great time in your groups. And as we were sharing in our groups, I was like, oh, I'm not going to mention that. Oh, I haven't said that. I feel like there is so much in this passage, so much that we can learn from what was important to Jesus. So, interesting, when Sue gave me the choice, she said, which woman of the Bible would you like to choose from? For me, it was a real no-brainer, because I have often identified with Martha, but always aspiring to be more Mary-like. So I was really keen to explore the whole Mary-Martha dynamic and even stereotype to find out what was God really saying in this narrative. Recently, I have been busy, particularly the last 2 weekends. I've been away, and we are in the process of moving house. Praise the Lord, if you know that story. So, it is an irony that I have been struggling to find time to prepare a talk on distractions, busyness, and prioritising time with the Lord. So, this has definitely been faith in action. Okay, so I was at a recent Connect Group leaders meeting training with Craig Palmer, and he said, sometimes we need to pray more and prep less. Hopefully I have done enough for of both today. Now, here is a bit of a litmus test for 21st century living. Does this sound familiar? This is you. Hi, how are you? Your friend says, great. Been a bit busy, and you say, yeah, I've been busy too. I feel like that is a really common refrain, anyway, amongst people that I know. And the word busy seems to fill our daily vernacular. So in our day, many of us can relate so much to Martha being distracted and worrying about many things. And we are bombarded 24/7 with information, distractions, and choices. I read recently in the Time magazine about the crisis of exhaustion sweeping industrialised nations. And research has shown that people are healthier when they prioritise purpose over maximising productivity or money. And in sync with that research is the Bible, which always has answers to our modern travails. And Jesus tells us if we are worried and upset about many things, only one thing is needed. We will unpack that. Now, interestingly, in the early church and even into the Middle Ages, this passage, which is unique to Luke, was seen as an endorsement for women to embrace the contemplated life, akin to that of a nun. While that may not be for all of us, I do believe that this is a rhema word, reminding us to weave contemplation and worship into our lives, making the right choice with the time that we have in light of heaven and eternity. Now, let's just contextualise this passage. So with what comes prior is the story of the Good Samaritan. And this talked about faith expressed through acts of service is seen more acceptable than mere religiosity. However, the story of Mary and Martha resets that balance, and it warns against becoming overly preoccupied with doing and neglecting to spend time with and listening to the Lord. Now, this is the first passage in 3 places that Mary and Martha are mentioned in the Gospels. They lived in Bethany, about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem, and it would have been a place that Jesus would have often stayed during his ministry, and he would have had a close relationship with this family. In John 11:5, it says, Jesus loved Martha and her sisters and Lazarus. Jesus is welcomed into Martha's house. Her name is the feminine form of the Aramaic word for Lord. Since she was always listed first and Lazarus last, we can assume that she is the oldest and Lazarus the youngest. In John 11, Lazarus is introduced to us in relation to his sisters and not the other way around. and there appears to be no evidence that they were married, and the difference in their temperaments suggests that they were not very old. Often used as a biblical personality assessment, the Mary-Martha dichotomy actually explores expressions of faith and Jesus' validation of female discipleship. We see Jesus as an advocate for women, challenging societal norms by welcoming them and defending their right to learn from him. Jewish women in biblical times normally performed domestic duties so men could engage in study. So here the problem was not of a woman serving, but of a woman having the audacity to assume and prefer the role of disciple. Mary's position would be startling in a culture where women were only allowed to memorise scripture, they were not taught to read, allowed to engage in study or receive formal teaching by a rabbi. In verse 39, it says, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. Now, Jesus often embraced people considered as outsiders. We know Zacchaeus, he was the crooked tax collector. He was welcomed by Jesus. The Samaritan woman at the well, she was invited into the kingdom. And Mary, another Mary, the sinful woman, was praised for her extravagant love. So here Jesus is being countercultural for commending a woman for taking on the role of a disciple. But when Martha is overcome with her own agenda, she appeals to Jesus. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. The way the question is asked in the Greek makes it clear that she anticipates support from Jesus and a positive answer. And in one sense, her request is reasonable. Why should Martha be left with all the work? There was more than one guest, and as the younger sister, it would have been expected that Mary would be at Martha's right hand helping her prepare. Perhaps initially, if you can picture it, Martha tried to contain her frustration and would try to subtly hint by banging some pots and pans. Maybe clear her throat and exhale a few times. When that did not work, she may have peeked around the corner or walked briskly into the room, trying to catch Mary's eye. But as we know, in the end, she gave up all protocol and civility and aired her grievance against Mary to Jesus. Now, I believe that Martha was initially acting with the best intentions in her service to Jesus. She had a servant heart and she did it well. But when she started to focus on herself and worried about what others are doing, she became resentful, critical, and even unkind. Martha's complaint would have humiliated Mary, wrongly assuming that Mary was lazy. However, Mary understood and discerned the importance of having the Son of God himself as a guest in her home, and listening to him and worshipping him were the best use of her time and energy. Something Martha had overlooked in her busyness and distraction. The word for anxious in Greek is agitation, here and there, drawn in different directions. And we get a sense of Martha's agitation and stress being contrasted with the silent composure of Mary. Do you ever feel like Martha? I'm sure I don't need hands. I have sometimes come home from work. The kitchen is a mess. I'm tasked with cooking dinner and then clearing it all up as well. And I have complained in my heart and sometimes out loud. And like Mary, I feel this seems reasonable. But if I am open and listening to Jesus, I will hear the gentle rebuke of be thankful, which helps me to realign my attitude and my heart to prevent negativity and complaining feeding into the tone of our household. When Jesus rebukes Martha, He says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." Jesus' repeating of Martha's name communicates tenderness in his gentle rebuke. And when we are rebuked by the Lord, he feels the same tenderness towards us. Mary was concerned with many things, and Mary only one. What is that one thing Jesus is referring to? When I hear that one thing, it makes me think of this passage from Psalm 27, verse 4. "One thing I ask from the Lord. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." And this is a picture of Mary. In this passage, Jesus has prioritized worship over all things. And we must never allow our service to Jesus to crowd out our worship of him. And as Christians, we can identify with Martha because God has given us works to do. But we must remember that faith and worship take the priority. Some activities can wait. There is a time to work and there is a time to listen. And as I was preparing this talk, it reminded me of a time when I was at Bible college in England in my 20s. And I made this wonderful new friend. Her name was Alex. I admired her passion for God, her commitment to prayer, to worship and reflection. And one day she said to me in wonder, "I have realized that God does not just want me to pray, worship and read his word. He also wants me to wash my car and do my laundry." Me being a Martha, I needed no revelation of that. But what I have come to understand, it's about balance and priorities. And this story also says something about hospitality. Have you ever been to someone's house for a meal and they have gone over the top when it was unnecessary? You actually came to see your friend and not for them to be distracted preparing an extravagant meal for you. It was them you came to see. And as host, it was important for Martha to provide physical nourishment to her guests. But she chose to do more than was necessary. And due to her distractions and focus on herself, she was missing out on the more important spiritual meal that Jesus was serving up. Mary understood that Jesus was only there for a time, and Jesus validated her better choice. In our modern world of distractions and busyness, I'm pretty sure most of us have felt guilty about prioritizing a to-do list over sitting and listening to Jesus. I come from a long line of family doers. My mum was a doer, and we were made to feel guilty if she was busy and we were sitting around seemingly doing nothing. And I have seen this pattern emerge in my life and my sister's lives with that tendency to fill up our time to the max, embracing the carpe diem of life, and then wondering why we find it hard to sit and wait on the Lord. I used to be able to do that, but now I have a family and work and la 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 la. I actually find it a bit of a lost art. It may also be a season and it looks different, and so I look for pockets of time to be able to sit with the Lord. And when I was preparing this talk, I've tried to do more listening to Jesus than just talking. So I decided to go back to the Gospels and focus on the red letter words. And I have since had some beautiful reminders and encouragements directly from Jesus, which have fed my spirit. The conflict over how best to show devotion to Christ and the sisters' clashing temperaments is consistent with what we see in later chapters. The next time we come across this family is in John 11:1 at the death of Lazarus. And we can see how deeply the loss of Lazarus affected them both. I can barely imagine how my two daughters would react and grieve over the loss of their younger brother. And here it is beautiful to see how Jesus ministered to Martha and Mary in their loss and pain. When Jesus arrives, Mary is consumed with grief. She initially stays inside, but then she falls at Jesus' feet in worship. In contrast, when Martha hears the news, she immediately rushes out of the house. But then she displays extraordinary faith. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But now I know that whatever you ask from him, God will give you." And in an act of grace, Jesus speaks one of his most transforming statements to Martha alone. "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Now, Jesus spoke many of his I am statements to groups or crowds. "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life." They were to groups and crowds of people. But Martha had once been rebuked for resenting Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. But now Jesus reaffirms Martha through this life-transforming promise. And this statement becomes reality moments later when Lazarus is raised from the dead. In the third and final account of this family is in John 12. The full depth of Mary's gratitude and understanding of her Lord is seen when they attend a dinner in Jesus' honour. This is hosted by Simon the leper, who undoubtedly had been healed by Jesus, was quite possibly a well-to-do, unmarried man, and Martha, with her servant heart, operating in her gifts, chooses to serve and look after the guests. Mary, out of devotion, love, and gratefulness, with her eyes fixed on Jesus and not on the reactions of others, anoints Jesus with costly perfume and dries his feet with her hair. When she is criticized, Jesus comes to her defense. "Leave her alone." Mary seemed to understand some truths which the educated men did not. Jesus said, "You will always have the poor, but you will not always have me." A win for Mary. And here is the key point. Mary knew to anoint Jesus for burial, which was the fruit of her willingness to sit still, listen, and ponder. Jesus knew that what Mary had chosen was better, true worship and devotion of one's heart and the full attention to Christ. Ultimately, Mary's devotion, though unconventional, earned Jesus' commendation, challenging us to reassess our priorities and embrace genuine worship over mere activity. When Jesus calls us to follow him all the way, he means not in a frenzy of religious activity, taken in our strength and comparing ourselves to others, but an abandonment of ourselves to him so he can work and will in us for his good pleasure. There is a time for a prayer list. There is a time to worship Jesus through serving. There is a time to pour your heart out to him in tears and heartfelt pleading. And there is a time to sit and listen. It is living a life of balance that Jesus calls us to, led by his Spirit. And let's make it personal. What worry or distraction is keeping you from sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his voice? Do you need to spend more time listening? I'm going to play I Surrender. And I'm just going to give you some time to picture yourself, like Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him and hearing what he might be saying.